Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Okay, so you're thinking, I'm visually impaired, and I have this camera on my iPhone. Who needs that? Well, in this show, we're going to learn what you can do with that camera.
We'll speak with Judy Dixon, who recently published a book entitled Get the Picture, Viewing the World with the iPhone Camera. And the book provides lots of information to help people who are blind use the camera on the iPhone, iPod Touch, or iPad to perform many daily tasks, such as identifying currency, recognizing objects, reading text, or even taking photographs. And towards the end of this show, we'll discuss a couple of apps that you can use to identify things without invoking a barcode scanner, and information on how you can get hold of the book. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Judy Dixon.
When there's something I'm not very good at, I think, well, could I get better?
Well, you know, new technologies are coming out all of the time. And of course, we can't all be experts at them. But if we learn to use these and just take the time, we'll find that we can use them to our advantage very often. And in this show, we'll see how that if you dig into some of these apps available on your iDevice, you can make some great use of that camera, even if you are visually impaired.
And I think Judy's point is applicable not just to iPhone cameras and not even just to new technologies, but to anything. If there's something you want to do, there's information on how to do it that's available to you. And we all owe it to ourselves to continue learning new tricks as we age. Let's start by meeting Judy Dixon and finding out why she wrote the book.
I'm Judy Dixon. Today, I'm Judy Dixon, the person who lives in Arlington, Virginia. But I also, my day job, I work as the consumer relations officer for the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped.
Many of our guests and listeners have visual impairments. Do you?
Yes, I do. I'm totally blind.
And what was the cause of that?
Oh, who knows? I was born with a visual impairment. I had some vision as a kid, and there it went.
So you learned all of your Braille skills and all from a very young age, I suppose.
I did. I started when I was 5 years old learning Braille.
And now you use screen readers, Braille, and all the assistive technologies you can.
And everything else I can get my hands on.
In today's show, we'll be talking with Judy about this book that she recently wrote, but she's been on Eyes on Success before in show 1306, talking about her day job at the National Library Service for the Blind and Visually Impaired, talking about their services, history, and what technology they use.
Today, we wanted to talk with you about your book that you just wrote called Get the Picture. Before we talk about the details of the book, what motivated you to write the book?
Oh, let's see. That's a good question. I think mostly because I wanted to learn about it. I've been an iPhone user now for 4 years, almost 5 years, I guess. And I like taking pictures. I've always felt I was really not very good at it. And when there's something I'm not very good at, I think, well, could I get better? And then I discovered there were a lot of apps that were camera dependent. You know, if you use the iPhone camera, you can identify colors, you can identify currency, you can detect light, all this kind of thing. Not to mention just taking pictures. And so I thought that would be a fun thing to do. And I was chatting with Diane Croft at National Braille Press, and I was telling her I'd discovered an app called Cyclorama that will let you take a panoramic photo, a 360-degree photograph. You take your case off your iPhone, stand it on its end, and start the app And the app knows just how much to vibrate the phone so that the phone will turn itself in a circle and stop at strategic moments, take a picture, and continue to keep turning in a circle. And it was so much fun. I was taking cycloramic pictures all over the place. And Diane said, well, gosh, yeah, you could do this as a book. You could tell other people about it. So we started. She first said, oh, one volume. I said, oh, no, I can't possibly do this in one volume. And so it ended up being two volumes in Braille, about 100 pages in print.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is some highlights from the book explaining how to use the camera in your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch.
Can you give us an overview of what the book contains?
Sure. The book is essentially divided into two parts. The first part is four chapters, and the first chapter is really about taking pictures. The second and third chapter are about using features of the phone that have to do with photography. The second chapter is all about the camera app, and the third chapter is about the Photos app and how the Photos app manages things. And then the other next chapter is about accessories. Accessories actually are really cool because tripods can help. There are cases and camera lenses that have wide-angle lenses on them. And then there's the really wonderful thing, a box called the Stand Scan, which has lights in it, and it's great for doing things like OCR with the phone, optical character recognition, scanning text, and that sort of thing. And then the second part of the book is about apps. There are 36 apps altogether, and many of them are mainstream apps, and many of them are ones that are specifically developed for blind users. The apps are divided into chapters about, you know, getting things done, of color detecting and light detecting and things around the house. And then there's a chapter about apps for keeping track of your photos, apps for performing everyday tasks, apps for sharing photos, apps for identifying objects, about barcode recognition, and then things like VizVis and TapTapSee. These are the famous apps that have been developed specifically for blind users.
You said the first part of your book is all about taking pictures, being a visually impaired person. There must be some tips. I know when Nancy and I go on hikes, for example, I'll often take pictures of her because she has many of me, but we need to get her in some of the pictures. And I just take lots of pictures until finally she gets one that's centered and that's composed correctly. Do you have any tips for lining the pictures up?
I call that the infinite number of monkeys approach taking a picture.
Yeah, the part Pete left out of that narrative is that I wind up walking back and forth as he's snapping the picture in the hopes that in one or two, I'm actually totally in the frame and not obscuring whatever the pretty scenery is.
Maybe you should stand still. It might be easier to get a picture of you.
Yeah, it's much easier to line him up using a cell phone camera than a regular camera because the display is bigger. So I'll line him up so that he's pointing at whatever the scenery is, but I still haven't figured out quite how to position myself relative to the size of the image and whatever's in the background. Maybe I just need some more practice.
Tips. It depends on what you're trying to do. A wide-angle lens helps because that increases your field of view. You'll get more background than you might want, but you do get the whole thing in the picture.
And at least someone can crop it later on if they want to.
That's true.
How do you manage to keep the camera so that the photo comes out level?
A tripod helps. One of the apps that I talk about in the book is an app called Camera Sharp. And Camera Sharp has a number of features that are useful for blind people. It can take a picture only when the phone is absolutely still. And it also has a bubble level. And I contacted the developers and said, you know, it'd be really cool if this bubble level was audible. And they did. They made the bubble level audible. So it's a three-dimensional level, and it has three different sounds. And it is really fun because you can get your picture exactly level and still with that app.
Oh, that's a great help. Someone once gave me the hint of putting my index finger over the on-off button on the phone, because that's near the lens, and to point that in the direction of the subject that you want to take a picture of.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. I can see how that would help.
Yeah, that made a big difference.
And what other hints might you have?
A lot of it is about things that, as a blind person, you need to think about. And some of it may sound a little obvious, things like you need to make sure there's enough light. But it's not just enough light. You need to think about, where is the light coming from? Is your hand casting a shadow? Is there shadows coming from something else? And all kinds of things having to do with light. Things having to do with, how far away do you need to be to get the whole thing in the picture, whatever the whole thing is? Then this one really surprised me. I did not realize that most photographs are taken landscape. When I was using my phone, I kept using taking the pictures portrait. And somebody said to me, well, vision is landscape. People are used to seeing things landscape. And how important it is that the picture be level. I discovered sighted people really don't like seeing things that aren't level. So it didn't seem all that important to me, but apparently it is. So now I make sure my pictures are level. And just all kinds of things about just taking photos, because a lot of people like to take photos for Facebook or just send them to their friends and family and so forth, not to mention the practical things you can do.
So you gave us a whole list of what kinds of apps are described in your book. Can you pick one that's a favorite, a particular favorite, and describe it a little bit more in detail and how it's particularly usable and useful to somebody who's got a visual impairment?
Okay. One of my favorite apps, which I don't think was developed for blind people, maybe it was, it's hard to know. It's called Listen At It. And you take a picture and then you double tap on the screen and run your finger around the screen in all over it. And it makes different tones, different frequencies and different intensities of sound to give you an idea what you're looking at. One of the hard things when you don't see it all and you're aiming at something is, am I getting the whole thing in this picture? And I used that app. I started by looking at parked cars, and I'd look at it with Listen At It and find out, is the whole car in the picture? And I really got much better at aiming at things by practicing with Listen At It.
So Listen At It will actually take the picture for you, or do you use this to know that the picture you're going to take with some other app is in view?
You take the picture first, and you then kind of query it. You query the screen with Listen At It by double tapping it and then running your finger around it.
That might be a really handy utility. I can't tell you how many pictures Pete has taken of me where one part or another of my head is missing. What's your favorite barcode scanning app?
My favorite barcode scanning app is one called Red Laser. And that app is actually from eBay. And it's meant to be a shopping app that you would scan a barcode and it'll tell you where in your neighborhood you can buy this item at a cheap price. But it happens to be a very good barcode scanning app. I get very, very quick and accurate results, and I don't have very much trouble finding the actual barcode.
So there are a number of barcode scanning apps that are intended for the blind, where it connects into the nutrition facts and the ingredients and the instructions, and it'll read anything that's on the box. Does this do all of that?
It doesn't do all of that. It's more about shopping. I think the primary one is Digitize, and Digitize can do all those things. It is a very good app. I just find Red Laser actually has a light built in. You can turn the phone's light on and off. And that's sometimes very helpful when you're scanning a barcode. So it's one of the reasons I get a lot more success with it.
We've actually done a couple of shows on barcode scanners, including Digitize and Directions for Me, and we learned that if you're looking for the barcode, it's usually either near a seam in the label or in the box or on the bottom of the box. And that'll make it a lot easier to find.
Now, you also talked about some OCR apps. I mean, it used to be that I remember having one of the first Kurzweil reading machines that cost like $30,000, was as big as a little washing machine. And now you can have this power in your phone. Can you describe how some of these apps work and which ones you prefer?
The two I like the best are Prizmo, P-R-I-Z-M-O, and Text Grabber. And they work similarly. They take a picture and then they scan it. Text Grabber works very well, especially when I use the stand scan, this box that I was saying that you can put a page in the box and it has lights and so forth. And it's a simple box. The Prizmo is a mainstream app, but it has a lot of features that are useful for blind users. As you aim it at a page, it will say right, left, back, away, toward you. And so that you can position, and it'll tell you when the whole page is in view, and it also will vibrate if the phone isn't level.
Oh, that's useful.
It's very nice.
Now, what would you typically use this for?
I use it for room service menus. I tend to use it a lot when I travel, and I travel a lot.
Are there any other apps you think people would want to be aware of?
Another app that I like is called Talking Goggles. And Talking Goggles uses the video function of the phone so that you can just stand there and aim it at something. And if it finds any text in its view, it will read it. And I use that for reading signs. And I can hotels, they'll have a sign up, all these meeting rooms are down this way. I find that very helpful for reading signs.
Oh, that sounds very useful, especially when you're traveling, as you say.
You must have purchased an awful lot of apps in order to test them and evaluate them for the book. How much do they typically cost?
They're all relatively inexpensive, even the ones that do have a cost.
Well, that's the great thing about apps on any smartphone is they are relatively inexpensive. And boy, if you don't like it, you're not out much.
That's true. And it means you can actually try things. I tested about 35 different color identifiers, and that was interesting because most of them didn't work, and some of them were intended for colorblind people. What I did was I tested each one with a yellow piece of paper, a blue t-shirt, and a red pepper, because I actually take my phone to the grocery store when I shop. And I use it to tell the colors of peppers. And I don't like green peppers, but I don't really care if the pepper is red or orange. And it doesn't make very many mistakes in that direction. If I didn't like orange peppers and only like red peppers, I'd be in trouble because it might make mistakes that way. I only found a couple of apps that identified all three things correctly. They almost all got the blue t-shirt. Most of them got the red pepper. But very, very few of them got the yellow piece of paper. Most of the apps called it either green or yellow green. And yet it was a well and truly yellow piece of paper from my office that I took pictures of in good light.
Which of these color identifier apps do you think worked the best?
I narrowed down to five. And as I said, I didn't think anything were absolutely perfect. There's one called Aid Colors. It is an app that was developed for blind people. The other four are Color Visor, Color Say. Color Say is kind of a complicated app, but it does work well. Color Reader's Voice and Color Identifier. There's also another app that's called Seeing Assistant Home. And Seeing Assistant Home has a number of functions built into it. It has a light detector, it has a color reader, it actually has a barcode scanner that's really quite good. And its color detector was very good. It was one of the better ones that was developed for blind users.
You mentioned earlier that blind people might want to be aware of lighting conditions. And there's other circumstances where you might want to know if there's a light in a room or where lights are. Are there any applications that can help with that?
Light detector.
This is light detector.
Light detector.
I'm aiming it at the window. The tone is higher. I'm aiming it down at the table.
47%.
And if you touch the screen,
44%. 27%.
Oh, so you can get a sense of how intense the light is. And that's one of the suggestions I give for people to determine if there's enough light to take a picture. It's a way of finding out, is it lighter over here than it is over there?
So another thing that would be really handy for a blind person is to know which bill is which. Many of our foreign listeners have currency that's easier to tell apart, but in the U.S., all the bills feel exactly the same. Which currency identifier do you think works the best?
There's two that I reviewed for the book, and one is the Looktel Money Reader. It's awesome. It's absolutely fantastic. It does a wonderful job. It does 20 different currencies. It uses the video function of the phone, and it's very quick and very, very accurate.
When you say 20 different currencies, that's 20 different countries or 20 different denominations?
20 different countries.
Oh, great.
I've used it in Europe, and I used it in New Zealand, and it works just like it does here. It's really quite fun. The other one, the Bureau of Engraving and Printing has developed their own app. It's called iNote, E-Y-E-N-O-T-E. And the version one of that app did not work well at all. It just took a picture. And if you didn't happen to get the part that it needed, it just didn't know what to do. Version two of that app, which came out in the fall, does use the video function of the phone. Any app that uses the video function rather than the still camera gives you a lot more margin for error. And it works reasonably well. The advantage of it is that it's free. And Looktel Money Reader is $9.95, a relatively expensive app. But it is an excellent app. And iNote works fairly well, not quite as well as the Money Reader.
One thing that's great about the book you wrote is that you've obviously put a lot of time into this and kind of sorted through many of these applications. As you said, you went through 30-some-odd color identifying apps, and this would save people a lot of time. And I'm certain you vetted these for accessibility.
Oh, yes. And I talk a lot about that. Each time I describe an app, I describe how to use it, its major functions, how to use the app. And I actually said in times, well, you know, this didn't work all that well, or this part wasn't too accessible, but in general, the app works well or something. I didn't talk about any app that didn't work at all. I didn't think that would be very useful. But I did include some apps that weren't 100% ideal, but I thought they had some redeeming feature that made them really worth being included because they did something that other apps didn't do.
Now for this week's final item, a couple of apps that you can use for identifying things without actually invoking a barcode scanner, and information on how to get the book and how to contact Judy Dixon.
Let's talk about apps for recognizing objects. Which have you tried?
TapTapSee, if you take a picture of things, it's supposed to tell you what it is, but I frankly find it more than a little annoying.
Now, I've tried another app called VizWiz, which does somewhat the same thing, and I thought it was very useful.
The other advantage of VizWiz is you can actually ask a specific question. You can say, what is this packet? And get an answer. TapTapSee, you don't ask the question. You just take the picture, and they have to figure out what you want to know about it.
Yeah, the demonstration we saw with VizWiz when Jeff showed it to us, he took a picture of the people in the room watching his presentation and asked how many people are in this room. And it came back with a number of answers, you know, because you couldn't tell, count all the people in the room, but it gave a pretty good rough idea.
VizWiz is great.
Now, if people wanted to obtain your book, where would they go?
It's available from National Braille Press, and it's available in hard copy Braille and e-Braille by download or on a CD or in Word. They have it in a lot of different electronic formats.
Can you give the URL for the National Braille Press for anybody who doesn't know it?
Yes. It's www.nbp.org. I would like to say that I donated this book to National Braille Press, so I can promote it shamelessly because I'm not making any money on its sale. Everybody go out and buy it. It's a great book.
New apps and tools are frequently becoming available. How do you deal with updates to the book?
Photography and iPhones and so forth is very much a moving target. The apps are coming out, they're changing, there's new versions, there's new apps. So I decided to start a blog, and it's at get-the-picture.org. And I'm just reviewing new apps and making comments on apps as they change and new accessories. There's actually a new accessory from the UK called the Giraffe Reader, and it's somewhat like the stand scan, but it doesn't have any lights. But it's a little simpler. It's just a piece of cardboard that unfolds, and it has a stand about the iPhone size that's the exact distance that it needs to be away from text that you're trying to scan or something you're trying to take a picture of. It's about a foot tall or so, maybe a tiny bit more than a foot. And so that's come out since I wrote the book. So the blog is kind of a way to keep people up to date on what's going on in the area of apps and cameras and iPhones and all that.
This is a way for people to get newer information that's come out since you published the book?
Yes, exactly.
Wow, that's great. Do you encourage people to contact you directly?
Yes, on the blog, there's a email address that people can write to, which is GTP, as in get the picture, gtpbook@gmail.com. And I also, in the book, give my personal email address, which is judy@judydixon.net.
And if you'd like to get this book for yourself, of course, we'll have links to that in the show notes, along with links to Judy's blog and her contact information. And just look in our show notes as usual.
That's it for show number 1430. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the importance of networking, and in particular, how important it is to network when you're looking for a new job. We'll be speaking with Jennison Asuncion, who has a very active web presence, and all of the networking that he's been doing and how he used that to get his current job. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.